Good morning. Today is Tuesday, May the 23rd. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Director of Aviation. How do you like it? I almost got it right, huh?
What happened to Flyboy?
Well, that's going to be the reference the rest of the way out, dude.
Okay. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning. Are you ready for our, why do we say it?
Never ready for this part
Good.
Of it, but
Good.
Here we go.
Oh, I probably should say this one for Sean, but Firebug.
Firebug.
Yeah. Well, you either that or get a rise, and that was almost too bad of a pun for an airport. Dude.
Yeah, so yeah. I don't know the history behind it, but when you say that, I think of the fireflies back home in the Midwest on summer nights that we used to catch as kids. So I don't know if.
What do they taste like?
Never tasted them.
Oh, really? Even when you were young. Okay.
We'd put them in a jar and then run around like we had a natural flashlight all night long. So, yeah.
Gnats, flies, and other insects have pestered outdoorsmen for centuries. Sparsely settled frontier America seemed to be a special haven for them. Swarms of bugs could drive a hunter, farmer, or homemaker nearly crazy. An extremely enthusiastic person, almost obsessed, was compared with a persistent insect called a bug. Tariff bugs of the South, denounced in 1841, were as zealous as computer bugs are today. No other human who acted as single-minded as a buzzing fly was so dreaded as the firebug. This label for an arsonist was current soon after the Civil War. Mark Twain helped the label gain wide acceptance when in 1881 he described a character as a counterfeiter, horse thief, and firebug from the most notorious nest in Galveston, Texas.
Wow. That background really makes me look forward to my trip back home to visit family here in a few weeks and see that state bird of Minnesota, the mosquito.
The mosquito, yeah. Now, why would you go back to the Midwest in summer? That's like the most god-awful time there other than winter.
Well,
so you got spring and fall, and you miss both.
Well, spring and fall can be a week. Whole season can only last a week some years. But, no, it's actually my parents' 40th wedding anniversary. So. Going back to
a triggering event.
Yes, hang out with them and relax with the family for a little while. So, and the mosquitoes.
Yeah, the mosquitoes.
Yeah.
Now, last time we were here, you were here. We were talking hockey.
Yeah, I'd rather not talk about it this time.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
I stopped caring about that a few weeks ago
at the end
of the first round.
Kind of like me with basketball. Yep, mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
So I understand from a number of places that you got, even with the tough times, that you got some funding to continue the remodel that we've been kind of touching bases about.
Yeah, so here in about 2 weeks, after our conversation here today, we're going to be kicking off the runway rehab project and electrical improvements. And then shortly thereafter, we'll be kicking off some parking lot improvements and upgrades. So it's really exciting times, a little bit chaotic as we run towards the starting line here. We've been planning for and working towards getting these funds in place for the past several years, and now it's about to become reality, and Earth's going to start moving, pavement's going to start changing.
I want to know if you're going to have unisex bathrooms, though.
Well, we're not.
I'm hearing stories that you're having some issues already.
Well, we're not tearing up anything inside the terminal. It'll be on both sides of the terminal, so the runway and then the parking lot. The terminal will still be a couple years down the road, so we'll see what the restrooms turn out like.
Nice dodge.
Yeah, that was
beautiful. So when the runway is torn up or being remodeled or refurbished, you got two. You just end up using the one on a regular basis?
Yeah. So actually on June 5th, the night of June 5th is going to be the first overnight closure. And so we'll close.
Well, you don't have any flights coming in overnight anyway.
Well, for airlines, correct. Yep.
Yeah.
So, and that's why we're doing the work, the majority of the work overnight. So from June 5th until mid-August, we'll be closing the runway five nights a week from 10 p.m. local time until 6 a.m. So we'll have it reopened for that first United launch in the morning and then be open every single day until 10 p.m. again.
So the last flight, the 11 o'clock flight or whatever
Yeah, so
that disappears?
Well, United's actually modified their schedule, so that'll be scheduled to come in, I believe it's around 9:30 every night, and then stop and stay for the night, and then out again after we reopen in the morning. So we've been having conversations with United and Avelo, you know, and trying to minimize impacts to them as well as the Coast Guard and all of our other users since last fall, actually. So
they're ready.
Yeah, when we set this schedule up, it was very well communicated and multiple meetings ahead of time with all of those entities to try to minimize any impacts. Obviously, there will be a few here and there day-to-day on how things go. But August 14th through the 25th, unfortunately, we have to close that main runway and actually the whole airport. And the secondary runway we have at ACV is not, unfortunately, long enough for the airliners to utilize. So we'll be closing the whole airfield and terminal during that time frame.
So two weeks is enough to do an entire runway?
So that's where the paving is going to come into play. So that August 14th through the 25th will be closed 24 hours a day.
Before that, we've got gravel?
No. It's just the old runway surface.
So. Oh, it's still, it will be serviceable.
Yeah,
okay.
So when we get into that 12-day window, so that's a Monday to the following Friday. They'll be working 24 hours a day and going in passes. So the first step is to mill up 2 inches off of the current surface.
It's like the pavement grinder we
see
on the highway.
Right, yep. It's a very similar process to what you see on the 101 or other areas when they're doing road maintenance. There's a few details that are a little different. Our asphalt's a little bit stronger because of the FAA engineering standards, but...
Really?
Yeah, just to handle the impact of aircraft coming down.
Oh, it's the splat land thing.
Yep, it's the landing impact. So very strict engineering standards and parameters for the contractor to meet, but they'll take that two inches off, so they'll do a whole pass down one side of the runway with that milling machine. And basically, as soon as they finish their first pass, they'll start on their second pass, and the paving machine will start chasing the milling machine all the way across the runway. And they'll be putting a new 3-inch lift where the 2 inches have been milled out. And then once they complete that across the whole runway, the paving machine will continue and do another 3-inch lift. So net, we'll have 6 fresh inches of asphalt across that surface, and that should last us the next 10 to 20 years before we need to go back and do a similar effort in the future.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19. We'll be back with more from...
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets. More than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop with Flyboy.
There we go.
Cody Wilkins. with the airport, based on what you were saying before the break, the runways are going to be 5 inches taller?
Actually, so it'll be a net 4 inches taller.
Okay. So as that works its way towards the terminal, are you going to have a slope? Or a drain, or I mean, how are you going to do it? Not that I'm all fired up about ADA stuff, but
sure.
I can see something happening here, and all of a sudden you can't open the door because it's running against this asphalt.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's a great question, and we're only touching the runway surface, and so we're not bringing that all the way back to the terminal facility. It's just that runway surface where aircraft land and take off from.
So the parking area will stay the same. There'll just be kind of a ramp.
The parking area is a separate project.
No, I meant airport. Airplane parking.
Yep. So the terminal apron where the planes park. Yep.
Terminal apron.
Yep. Okay. That'll be staying the same this time around. we'll chase funding for that in future years and try to address that. But this is all focused on the runway and replacing the lighting system. So that's what the overnight closures starting June 5th will be covering, is doing hundreds of lights out there, replacing a few every night for a couple months, and then moving into that process that I was explaining earlier for the milling and overlaying, they call it, the new asphalt. And then on the backside of August 25th, we'll actually be doing overnight closures for six-hour windows, so midnight to 6 a.m., 5 days a week, and that'll bring the electrical contractors back out there because we have what's called in-pavement lighting systems that are being replaced. So
kind of like what we see on the roads?
Yeah, it's if you see those reflectors on the roads, kind of imagine that, but that being an actual light can buried in the asphalt or concrete.
So like some of the safety crosswalk things that are down in the pavement itself.
Yep, that would be a great example kind of out on the streets and things that people see. But these new lighting systems help aircraft navigate, you know, into the airfield, but also around the airfield during nighttime conditions. And it's
that's kind of cool. Are they able, are you like have a computer program kind of thing and it follows the airplane or leads the airplane in so it can follow?
Yeah, so at more advanced airports, larger airports where there's a lot more tin moving around all at the same time, they actually do have even more advanced systems than we'll be getting.
Follow the color. Here's your color.
Yep, kind of deal.
Oh, that's cool.
And the technology's gotten a lot better in the cockpit and for air traffic control as far as tracking and communication at these busy facilities like an SFO or LAX. So there's systems out there that I haven't even seen because we'll never need something like that at ACV, even as we continue to grow.
So as you geek out on this stuff.
Sure.
Okay, you're not flying from here to home direct.
No.
There'll be an airport somewhere. But do you go checking it out?
So I have contacts, and the last airport I went and checked out was when I was up in Seattle for meetings last year. I used to work at Boeing Field just south of downtown Seattle, where the Boeing company started. Really neat facility. There's a lot going on. That's where a lot of the corporate flight departments for Starbucks, Amazon, Microsoft, the list goes on and on up there. But they're headquartered there. And so got a lot of unique experiences in my time there. But it was really fun going around with an old coworker. I hadn't been on the airfield up there in over 10 years, and it was like an entirely new facility with all the work that they had done. Not just the airport itself, but some of those entities I mentioned, you know, new hangars and new developments, and it was really fun to see. And that's really what we're trying to start that process here at ACV and replicate that in our own way for our own needs.
I was wondering if there is a desire, I guess, that this is step one. I mean, there's been discussion, you know, out on Central, building out there and having more of a business hub, I guess, in association with the facility. Is this step one in that process, or is this something that's kind of an independent track, had to happen, and it just happens to be occurring relatively the same time?
So really what it is for us is we always have to go through planning processes to get FAA grant funding. And so we went through those planning processes and analyze the pavement both at ACV and our three general aviation airports, so Murray Field, Ronerville outside of Fortuna, and Garberville. And ACV, we really needed to address that main runway for longevity purposes. It's completely safe the way it is today. It will be until we get to that paving project, and it actually would be for a couple years beyond. The problem is if we weren't addressing it now and we let it go for a few more years, when we did get to construction, now we would need to potentially reconstruct the runway, which means milling out all of the asphalt and either reworking or replacing the base course, which the impacts I was talking about earlier. So when aircraft land on that surface and the pressure that puts on the pavement itself, that base course is what gives that top layer, the asphalt that you're landing on, the strength. And so we'd have to go back and rework the integrity of that to ensure the longevity that we needed in a project. So what we're really doing right now, and this is a very major project, all encompassing with engineering costs, we're looking at $20.2 million.
Do you get to sign that check?
No. I get approvals to send that check. That's That's above my pay grade.
No, but wouldn't that be cool?
It would
be. Decide, I mean, just see something like that?
Well, we...
And know that it wouldn't bounce.
Right, right, yeah. And what we're hoping to do is set up some public events up there, you know, get some media out there with the board members and the community and the chambers, do some ribbon cuttings, hopefully on that last day of closure, so August 25th, get everybody out there. Because what I'd like to do is take that community photo and send that back to the FAA, because we have to compete very hard for these funds and justify these projects. And it's a pretty cutthroat competition. And the FAA, every single year, they have to make hard decisions and they have to tell some airports, hey, we just don't have the funding. But this is really important, getting back to your question, for our community with what's going on at Cal Poly Humboldt and offshore. You know, we're setting ourselves up for success for a long time to come.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30. We'll be back with more from Cody.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by, playback.
And now.
Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Cody Rogitz from the Humboldt County Aviation, blah, 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 woof, woof, woof. Yeah, this is another hard-hitting show.
Yes, it always is.
So you got the paving and the lights and all that cool stuff on the airplane side.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got the, I guess, the project that would qualify for urban renewal or blight. Take your pick, either way. The thing that the community has suffered through for decades,
mm-hmm.
With the parking.
Yeah.
And it's intriguing, I think, for a lot of folks, if you are a user of the airport,
mm-hmm.
And have seen a bunch of the others. How many different styles and approaches and ways to do things there are out there.
Mm-hmm.
Some are on-site, some are off-site, some shuttle, some don't shuttle, mm-hmm. some are multi-level, some are single. I, for whatever reason, am really enamored with a small market, the way Santa Rosa is laid out.
Oh, yeah.
It just, I mean, you pull up and it looks like small dinkerdo,
mm-hmm.
but son of a gun, it just works. You know, yeah. Having the little bit on the inside and then the long-term in neighborhood, and it just, how are you going to be able to make it happen? Is it going to flow? You're on.
You stole my thunder there, Brian, with that last phrase, flow. And that's really what it comes down to. Our current parking lot is not set up for flow, especially when it comes to exiting. It was set up for a nice, smooth exit flow, so an aircraft would arrive. Everybody would go to baggage claim, get their stuff, and at approximately the same or similar pace, they'd all go out to their vehicles and then exit. But that was set up for 20 to 30 seat aircraft. And so it was fine for 20 to 30 cars to exit. It was only a 5 to 10 minute wait time and getting out of there. With the technology that was present back in the 80s, I believe, is when this was last done. 80s to
yeah,
early
okay.
90s. And so what has happened in that time frame over the last several decades is we have grown, especially here in the last few years, to where we don't have 20 or 30 people getting off of a plane now. The average flight with United, you have 50, 60, 70 people getting off of that plane. So that's, you know, 40, 50, 60 cars out there that are all lining up. Even on the smaller United flight, when a Velo comes in, you have 120, 130 people getting off. So you can have upwards of 100 plus cars. that
takes
are all
a couple minutes
out.
Each.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. So now all of a sudden we have a 30, 40-minute wait time. So the critical thing for us in improvement, and there's going to be a lot of improvements. It's going to be a whole new facility out there.
You're going to have the lower 40?
It's actually going to be one plane. Now, it's going to be in the same footprint, but we're going to go in and we're going to take that milling machine, either with the contractor. We're in the bidding process right now, so we don't know who we're going to be working with. But that milling concept that we discussed earlier in the show, that's going to happen with the current asphalt. But then we're going to actually grade it to a level plane, so there's not like different tiers going down.
So
you're going
to dig it down or just slant it so that
it's going to be a
rain
slight,
runs off really nicely?
Yeah, it's going to be a slight slope downwards, you know, back towards Airport Road or towards the coast. But it's all going to be on one plane, so we are going to bring in some fill and build that up so we have one plane. There's going to be a nice retaining wall when people come in, welcoming them to ACV and thanking them for flying so they know where they're at. And then
you don't have weeds to worry about.
Right.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah,
here.
The entry will be much smoother and easier getting in. And that important critical part, that flow on the exit, it's not going to be 2 or 3 minutes to process each individual. It's going to be seconds because you'll either pay ahead of time on foot at a little kiosk in the terminal or slide your credit card in, slide it out, get your receipt if you'd like. The arm goes up and away you go. And there'll be two lanes for people to exit out of. It'll flow back into Airport Loop Road really nicely as well. So,
it sounds like artist conception has already been drawn up on this one.
It has. And,
which
and
is cool.
Yeah, what's really cool is we are going to have some light landscaping out there. But we have some details. I mentioned that welcome sign coming in that'll be lit up at night. We're also going to give nod to some of the historical industries here in Humboldt County. So rather than an ugly chain link fence around the facility to keep people contained and or out, we're going to have 8x8 actually redwood posts. Can you tell I've reviewed the plan set here recently? 8x8 redwood posts that are going to be driven into the ground, and there'll be a nautical rope tied between each one of those posts. So giving homage to the lumber industry and the history that has been or a part of our community, and also the fishing industry with that nautical themed rope. So I think it's going to look really cool. We'll have a little bit of green in there. And we're also talking about, if the budget allows, having some space and working with the local artist community to have them tie into that as well. So it's going to be a really, really fun project, and I think a great improvement for the community to enjoy when they come out to the airport.
There's also the spot where the rental cars are.
Yep.
That's kind of a different.
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to be enveloped into the entire parking concept? Is that going to remain unique and separate?
That for the time being, that's going to remain unique and separate. There may be some shifting in that in the next few years as far as location and what that looks like. But
because is there capacity? I mean, with the number of chairs that you've got now, and the fact that we seem to be more and more of a tourist destination.
Yep.
I would think that there would be need for some extra space.
Yeah, so the key thing for the rental car industries, and right now we have Enterprise National very soon. Avis Budget will be opening a location inside the terminal. So we'll be back to having two options, and obviously we hope to grow from there in the future again. But the spaces that they have out in that lot that you're talking about, it exceeds 60 total spaces. So that's more than enough, because even with a Velo, they have 147 seats. If they have all of those full, it's highly unlikely or very rare that they're going to have in excess of 60 rental cars from that one flight. So it meets the needs for now, and the rental car companies have been flexible, and they'll, you know, one flight comes in, they service the customers that they have coming off, and then they kind of backfill and bring up cars and prepare for the next flight. So it works, but it definitely something we're looking to improve in the future. One other thing I didn't mention about the new parking lot facility or rehabilitation that we're doing, we're also incorporating the microgrid that we completed a couple years ago at ACV. So some of the power that's generated from that microgrid We're working with the same engineers from the Schatz Energy Research Center over at Cal Poly Humboldt, who are the best in the business and most knowledgeable when it comes to microgrids and microgrid power. But they are helping us, and as well as the Redwood Coast Energy Authority, or RCEA, another microgrid project partner. They're tied into this as well, but they're helping us set up. So we're hopeful to have 50 electric vehicle charging stations in this new parking lot facility as well. So exciting stuff for Tesla and other drivers out there that will be utilizing our facility.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43. We'll be back with more from Cody Rogatz.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Cody Rogatz from the Humboldt County Airport. So we got the two projects that are kind of going back to back, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What are you going to do with a parking as you're tearing up that end of things? Or what are you suggesting? I mean, can park across the street at the hotel and walk up the hill? I mean,
No, we're not going to have anybody doing that. We have different phases to the parking lot project, so we will have impacts. We will be broadcasting this out as we move from phase to phase, so folks know.
Love that word, by the way.
Yeah, broadcast.
Yes, you focused on the right one too. Yeah.
But yeah, we'll get that information out as best we can and send out press releases, but. It will be temporarily torn up in different locations at different times, but it'll all still be accessible, so people will still be able to get in and out. Actually, the plans, part of it, this could be a unique experience for some of your listeners if they care to. One of the phases, part of the temporary parking, we're actually going to create a temporary perimeter fence and take up one of the aircraft parking spaces on the apron. So,
I was wondering if you could access up on there.
Yep. So, folks, if they want to come out and park, they'll be able to get a little bit closer than normal as far as seeing aircraft taxiing in and taxiing out and parking. But it'll be neat. It's something that's done at a lot of airports when they go through similar processes. Mm-hmm. But what it does is we take one spot away that is kind of a spare, if you will, anyways, that we do utilize in extenuating circumstances for aircraft. But we can put them elsewhere for this short stint while we're working on the parking lot, and we'll get vehicles parking out there. So it'll be the same 10-foot tall fence between folks in the airfield, but you'll be a little closer to the action, if you will.
You have to yell a little louder when the airplane comes in.
Yeah, it is a little louder, that's for sure.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. You know, for some of us, that really is cool.
That noise that you're speaking to, that's probably why I come across a little louder than some of your other guests. I didn't wear my earplugs all those years when I was young running around airfields, so some of that noise has gotten to my eardrums a little too much.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah.
I can suffer through it.
Huh?
Yeah, let's talk hockey.
Yeah.
See, no, it's not that bad. It's not that far gone.
It's not. It's just that as we've joked about before, I'm the lowly Minnesota sports fan that never makes it very far in the playoffs, and that held true for my Minnesota Wild again this year, getting ousted in the first round.
I prefer to use the word token.
Yeah. You know, I still watch those old clips of Kirby Puckett and remember about the wonder years of the late 80s and early 90s. But
to really get weird in the last 30 here, mm-hmm. Do you ever go and watch the Hall of Fame speeches?
I do sometimes. Yeah.
I've been doing that with some of the broadcasters.
And what was
look at Lon.
Okay.
And Bob Uecker.
Okay.
You will just absolutely roll with Uecker. If you thought he was funny in Major League,
yeah.
This thing is
I'll check that out. The coolest experience for me as a kid was, I've never been to Cooperstown or any of the other Hall of Fames, but my dad and I did go down to Kirby Puckett's public memorial at the Metrodome, and there were some great speeches there that kind of brought everybody back. And of course, the videos of Kirby's highlights were shown.
Right.
He was my hero. As
he was your guy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
You didn't go on the same weightlifting program, though.
No,
I noticed.
No, yeah. No. Kirby was stout like me, but a little
plug.
More power there.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And speed and everything else.
Oh, ability.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
You start going there.
Yeah.
All right, fine. Hey, thanks for coming by, bud.
Thank you.
See you again. See you everybody tomorrow.
It.